This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports. It's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just choning on the junkies, yeah. It's bit season, what a time to be alive. Bit season, couple of regular guys. It's bit season, go have yourself a laugh. It's bit season, aha.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the very first edition of Bit Season. I'm Drab T-Shirt.
I'm Matt Valdez.
And our producer, believe it or not, AWOT, Adam Epstein.
What's up, guys? Ready for episode one?
I think we made a big mistake.
I kind of agree with you. I just know that Adam showed up probably 30 minutes before we started recording.
We've been highlighting this day and the recording of Bit Season for weeks now.
I've been a little nervous for the past couple of weeks, and my producer hasn't been here to calm me down, kind of walk me through everything, give me the rundown, the show rundown, tell me some topics or anything like that. So I've been in the dark.
We made the big decision to make Adam our producer. He has zero producing experience. He should not be producing this show, but we kind of like him, so we wanted to bring him on board, and he slept through his very first show. He was supposed to be on the Junkies at 8 a.m. today.
Adam's a part of the Junkies, believe it or not. If some people may or may not agree with that, but I think he's a part of the Junkies family, and I think it's a good addition to have him on Bit Season. He can add some insight, but like Drab said, he slept through the crab kickoff.
Biggest show of the year.
Yeah, I slept right through it. I don't know what else to say. It was bad producing.
You know what? We kind of expect it from you. Yeah. And you're going to be our punching bag on the show, so we're off to a good start.
Yes.
So this show, like Valdez said, it's a show about the Junkies. We're very excited to do it. I got to get this out there. We're not the Junkies. If you love the Junkies, you may not love us.
Yeah, if you're expecting Junkies 2.0, it's probably not going to be the same. If you want weekend parlay, fatty, and sports talk, this is probably not the show for you.
As Rom always tells me, They're the talent. You're the producer. All right. There's a reason for that. But we love this show. We love the Junkies, all three of us. We love being a part of the show. We've all been on it for years. And we wanted an outlet to kind of express our views that maybe we don't get to share enough on the Junkies.
Yeah. We let the guys do their thing, and they have the center stage as always. And sometimes we have some comments or criticisms or stuff that goes unnoticed, and this is our outlet.
Well, let's be honest, guys. This happened because the Junk Show is going on, and sometimes you guys are making jokes behind the glass, and you think this is funnier than what's going out on the radio.
Well, 100%. Sometimes what's going on behind the glass is funnier than what's on the air.
I tell you what, the thing I look forward to most is talking to Drab between breaks. Or yeah. Talking to Drab when Rick Snyder's preaching about the Lincoln Memorial.
Yeah, we love guests. Lurch loves guests, and Drab and Valdez love guests, because that's our time to kind of take a break.
Yeah, but sort of a preamble for the bit season for episode one. Is that we are going to recap stuff that happens on the show. We're going to bring up some stories that maybe the guys don't really get into much detail about, or maybe just completely leave behind in the binders. Maybe some behind the scenes stuff. We'll have some back in the day stuff, some stories to tell. So, and also we're not really 100% certain what the show's going to be from week to week.
Yeah, we'll kind of feel it out as we go along. So the name Bit Season, it's been said, that phrase has been said on the Junkies for years and years. I don't know the
since before I started, for sure.
What coins Bit Season is from the end of the Super Bowl to the start of mini camps.
Training camps.
Yeah, yes.
Because mini camp we still screw around a lot. And here's the open secret. There really is no bit season. Like, we've said there's bit season from the Super Bowl to training camp, but Valdez and I, we always cram non-sports. I mean, we've done so
many... We shove so much non-sports down their throat.
We've done so many farting stories this week. It's unbelievable. There's no end to bit season, but we kind of highlighted that the off-season of the NFL is bit season,
yeah,
on the Junkies.
It's slow. There's not a million Washington football team calls. There's no games to break down. You know, there's no fantasy lineups to adjust. So there's more dead time, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys, when you guys say the name Bit Season, the name of this podcast, what specific, is there one specific story that comes to your mind, or a bunch of them? Is it dick jokes, fart jokes? Like, what?
Whenever I think of Bit Season, I think of, because I'm pretty sure we called it Bit Season back in my first year on the show in 2012, when the first day of training camp, instead of having reporters on, we celebrated the end of summer by having listeners. Remember, we had the dirtiest listener contest.
Oh, yeah.
With a smoking hot blonde that came in that Valdez knew somehow.
Hey.
I don't know. Like, she was just, I don't know, a friend of a friend or something.
Yeah, we had, I think it was like Irish Spring or something like that.
It was a promotion that we did, and we had blue collar workers come in.
Yeah, we had like janitors and like sewer plumbers.
And so I don't
maintenance men.
I don't even remember what exactly the prize was, but it was sponsored by Irish Spring. And this hot chick, she scrubbed down the listeners
for being dirty.
For being dirty.
And it was in a kiddie pool.
And it was the end of Bit Season, because it was the first day of training camp.
When I think of Bit Season, not anything specific like that, but it makes me think of comedians coming in studio every Thursday.
You know what that about comedians though? The heavy comedian season in this area, at least, is the fall. That's when they get all the big sellers. Now, it's a little different the last 2 years with the pandemic, but all, you know, I saw you tweeting about John Lovitz, all the Tony Rocks and the
Bobby Lee.
Those guys always come around in the fall.
Deion Cole.
Marlon Wayans.
October, November. Oh, who's the thief? The Joe Rogan thief. Who stole all his jokes?
Carlos Mencia.
I should know his name. I mean, Carlos Mencia is one of the most hated comedians, but one of the favorites when he comes here in studio.
We used to love talking Real Madrid with him and just
He's a good time. So it is, even though heavy football season, comedians do come around a lot in the fall. So yeah, that is a good observation of what Bit Season is all about.
Yeah, that's a good summary of Bit Season. And you know what? If you're a P1, you can kind of figure out what bit season is, too.
So when we were kicking around the name Bit Season, you guys have heard us, Valdez and I, talk on the show. They're doing their own show in there, the Matt and Matt show, behind the glass.
So what are they snickering at?
Yeah. So when we first started thinking about doing the show, we were going to call it Behind the Glass. We didn't really like Matt and Matt show, because it just sounded like some terrible morning zoo show. Behind the Glass is probably what the show should be called if we are smart and stick with our brand.
Yes.
But we changed it up. It also was going to be called Monkey Stilts at one point.
That was another name being kicked around.
And that was kicked around by our friend, now friend, and presenting sponsor, Nat from Wave Soda. And we got to give a big shout out to Nat.
He gave us a good kick in the butt to get this started.
Yeah.
And if it weren't for him, we probably wouldn't be doing this.
Yeah, we definitely wouldn't be doing it because he's the presenting sponsor of the show, Wave Soda. He's been sponsoring the entertainment page for a couple of years now. He loves the junks. He loves the bit stuff.
Yes.
He's a P1, so he wanted to come on board. We love Wave Soda.
I drink it every day.
That's not a bit. He sends it here, or we buy it. I saw it at World Market the other day. So Wave Soda is blowing up, and he kind of just has some faith in us to do a good show here and to represent his brand well.
He's rolling the dice on us, and we don't want to let him down, and we know we'll do a great podcast for him and for other people.
We do like money.
And that is true.
And that's paying us. a little tiny bit.
Not much.
Yeah. And so actually, that's kind of one of the things about the show is we got the blessing from CK, our program director. He said, you can do it once a week. We'll see how it goes. The Junkies podcast numbers could use a little lift. So we're going to put it in their feed. That's straight shoot.
Yeah.
Not that the Junkies are doing bad. It's just that we used to have a lot more segments in that feed. And so our numbers used to be much higher.
And you know what? I'm not offended by being in the Junkies feed and not having our own feed.
No, it's smart.
Of course it is.
Right? We're gonna stumble. Some people are gonna stumble into this.
Yeah.
You know, because it's just gonna go from the next podcast to the next one.
Yeah.
And the
autoplay.
Next thing you know, they're gonna be listening to Bit Season. So we'll take it for sure. But yeah, we're super excited about this show, and there's a ton of stuff that happened on the show this week. It was a great week to launch Bit Season.
It is, and it was a great day to do it because we did our first crab kickoff today. I want to say I apologize because today was a little self-serving.
It was a big swim in Lake Valdez, wasn't it?
I just know that when Eric was all psyched to do some sort of crab-themed kickoff, that just got my gears going. And it got me dialing the phone, reaching out to people, and I'm just happy that we're able to get it done. And I'm happy I have about 24 crabs left over that I'm going to take home.
Well, here's what kind of made it special for us. The Junkies, they don't care about anything. You guys know that if you listen to the show. We love them, but we're going to try to be as honest as we can without getting in trouble on this show. And we say stuff to them in front of their face, but as we discussed when we launched the show, we teased the show on the air, we're going to be hard on the Junkies. We're just kind of tell it like it is. And the Junkies are lazy. They are so lazy that they don't get excited about anything. And the fact that they were smiling today and EB was discombobulated, he couldn't focus on the show because he was so giddy, not about the NFL, but about the bit that we were doing.
Right. The thing is, there's a bunch of donks out there that are super excited for the NFL. The fact that it's week one, that you have a game today, and you would think that four hosts of a sports show would have the same kind of excitement. So in order to kind of push them over the edge, we brought in a bunch of crabs. We brought in a bunch of crab cakes. We let them drink on air.
I didn't think it would go that well because
I planned it.
No. Well, I helped plan it too. That we have a history of the Junkies and us doing these special shows and them just bitching and complaining the whole time. Right? The Christmas shows. Oh, I'm too old to drink. What do we have to do this again?
Do I have to think about what to get you for Secret Santa?
We did that as we brought up on the air today, AWOD. We brought up the Master show and the NBA Finals show.
Yeah, we brought up your NBA Finals show that JP completely no-sold.
No-sold it. Didn't talk about it on the air, even though the whole studio was decorated like a locker room. We love the Master show. The Master show, actually.
Yeah. I mean, we ordered pimento cheese sandwiches.
We had Masters cookies. Valdez and I wore the white caddy outfits.
I went to Bellhaven Country Club and I rummaged up every piece of equipment I could to fit in the studio. I took a ball washer from the first hole and I took it in my car to bring in here, and no one cared when they walked in, and it looked like the 13th.
Which time was it that my wife came in with you and you guys decorated the studio?
That was the Christmas show.
It was a Christmas show.
Yeah. We put a big tree up and put all lights around everywhere, and they didn't care. And that took a lot of effort.
Now they do care about the Christmas show once they get drunk.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, you guys, we're going to tell you guys right now. Nobody else knows this. We haven't announced it anywhere yet. And I think it's a good time to kind of let a little secret into the P1s of the P1s.
This is big news.
I think it's big news. I think it's pretty cool.
Bit season news.
It is. Valdez and I, we are kicking around some ideas because our Christmas show, our holiday show, drinking show, whatever you want to call it, is always so early.
It's always like the first week of December,
because
it feels like.
The junkies have so much vacation. So it's always like December 7th, December 8th. This year was supposed to be on Friday, December 10th. And we got a text message from Lurch that said, I'm going out of town. I won't be here. I'm going to, I think he said Florida. And I said, damn, that's the drinking show. And his response was,
oh, well.
No, it was, not for me, it isn't. Right?
It's a very Lurch
text. It's just such a Lurch comment. So we start thinking, like, how can we make this better? How can we actually get the Christmas show that Valdez and I love, and Cakes loves it too?
Yeah.
And JP loves money, so if we have for a prize, he'll be all about it. So we came up with the idea, and we moved their vacations around. This year's drinking show will be on December 23rd.
I mean, that's right in the heart of Christmas.
It's the final show. We actually have Christmas Eve off from Odyssey here. So that's 23rd is a Thursday. Christmas Eve is a Friday.
Correct.
And so we figured out a sweet spot in the calendar, and we moved their vacations around because Lurch and EB would not come in if they were on vacation. We know that about them.
Right.
So we planned them to work that week.
Yeah, and then we bullied JP and Cakes to come in.
To come in on their vacation also because they don't ever do anything. And yes. So I knew they'd be sitting at home. And so they could come in. So all four junkies are scheduled to be here December 23rd for the Christmas show.
It's going to be a Christmas miracle.
And it's a big deal because they're back in studio. Last year, Christmas was different.
It was. That was not as fun of a Christmas show. Also, Valdez and I, we came up with the bonus game, which we will not be doing again. I mean, I'd hope that we'd get our bonuses this year, but you never know.
It was actually awful, the fact we had to fake a game to get a bonus.
We had to come up with a game because they were so not into the Christmas show. We came up with a game where we potentially got $0 for our bonus just so they would be interested in the show. And actually, it worked out well because I think Valdez and I got paid pretty well that time.
But I wanted to talk about the crab kickoff, which was today. And the guys, like we said, were really excited. And Drab actually had a really great idea for next year's kind of NFL kickoff.
Well, I love today's show. I love their excitement about it. But how can we make it better? Like, are we going to do a crab kickoff every single year? And
how do we make it fresh?
Or how are we going to keep this fresh next year and come up with a little spin on it to make it a little bit different? Is there different foods that we can have? Can we do something more NFL related? But clearly, this is a day that kind of stood out to the junkies. It's something that,
you know, it
they
worked.
Liked.
It worked. Yeah. The combination of the NFL starting and the combination of free food worked. And so we're just, like you said.
Here's the problem. This is the greatest food drop of all time, and I don't even like food. I mean, I don't even like crab. I don't like seafood. I'm not a big seafood guy, but the platter upon platters that were here, right, and just how above and beyond Capital Crab went really made today special.
It made the junks feel like big sillies.
So I know if we bring them back next year, they'll love it again, and it'll be kind of a big deal. Or do we take the chance and do a different food theme next year, or a different little spin on it?
So Drabby's idea was that we take whoever wins the Super Bowl for the year before, during the start of the season, we do a theme based around that city.
Right.
So like if Kansas City wins the Super Bowl this year, you obviously are going to do barbecue / ribs.
If the Rams win, like a lot of us predicted, we're going to have like some fish tacos or veggie salad, some sort of veggie wrap.
Yeah, we're going to play play some West Coast rap or
we'll
something.
Play West Coast rap. I guess we could have like street tacos. Those are L.A. But here's the thing. I was thinking about that. I was like, that's a good idea. And then I was like, what is Tampa known for? Like, what kind of food does Tampa have?
Blondes and bikinis?
Yeah, they got a lot of white trash down there and hot chicks and, like, Hulk Hogan.
Like stone crab, or is that Miami?
Maybe you could get away with stone crab, but I don't know what the delicacy of Tampa is. So, we'll work on it. It's just an idea that we're kicking around. We thought today went pretty well. Was probably the highlight of the week,
well,
for
sure.
Well,
that's what I want to get into is, Valdez, why do you think it went so well today?
It just went so well because I get so sized for crab.
In my mind, Valdez was unprofessional today, and he did get the face for a few minutes, and I had to like kind of like a fake apologize and be like I was just kidding around. But he abandoned the ship. Awad, you were sleeping.
I did what you're not supposed to when you're running the board is leave it alone.
So Tim, he throws all the crabs on the table, and the guys get their knives out.
Look, it was my white trash instinct that took over.
It was, dude. He sat in your seat.
I was sitting right there,
the board.
Eating a crab, pretending I was the fifth junkie.
You don't, yeah. Drab doesn't even know how to run the board.
Yeah. I don't know how to run the board.
The show would have gone off the rails.
I know how to dump. I can figure the dump out. I used to run the board 10 years ago with LeBar and Dukes and some of the other shows that I worked on. I actually was a silly board op, but it's been 10 years since I've really ran a board. I barely know how to take us to break.
In my defense, they invited me in to pick the crab. Well, I kind of invited myself in.
I think you invited yourself.
I said, oh, you want me to pick a crab with you guys? And they said, yeah, come on in. And then I took a crab. I went in there and I ate half of it. Then I ran back out because Drab couldn't do his job on the board.
Well, they started punching up collars and all that. It just kind of made me nervous. Valdez was in there. His legs were spread so wide, and he was like slunk down in his chair. And he was treating it like he was sitting in his backyard in Pasadena.
It was. I was pretending I was a little kid eating crabs with my parents on the deck. It was that. And you know what? I was showing off all the lump crab meat I was picking to everyone just because I wanted them to see how good of a picker I was.
And maybe a couple of you guys caught it. Valdez actually.
He fed jumbo lump.
Finger to mouth. No, wait, maybe not. I think I put it in my own mouth, but it was pretty close to that.
I took it and I fed it to him like he was a baby bird.
Right. So it was a great day on the Junkies. I think overall it was a pretty good week. I mean, obviously we still have tomorrow, and we're going to be recording the show, I think, every Thursday.
Because every Thursday,
nobody
yeah.
really listens to podcasts on Friday, so everybody, you kind of punch
Friday
out.
Friday gives the Junks a chance to hype up the podcast if we have a great
That is
segment.
True. That is true.
Yeah, if we say something controversial, they can bring it up or they can address it.
All right. Awad, your phone's about to die there, but if you want to keep recording your video, it says low battery. But we started off the week, one of the first segments in the 6 a.m. hour on Tuesday, since it was Labor Day, Valdez, mm-hmm. was we kind of, we went over my rendezvous with Cowboy Todd, my yes. weekend, and I tweeted you, I didn't tell you I was hanging out with him, but I tweeted you like a random photo of us together in a ATV.
I was wondering if you went down to see him or if he came up to see you.
Well, like I said on the show, my house is too boring. I live in a condo with my wife and my kids. There's just nothing going on. Like, it's just
but suburbia.
He's the white trash redneck hillbilly that has all the toys. And so him and my wife, they became friends. His wife and my wife became friends a couple of years ago, and they had invited us down many times. And he's always like,
"What do your wife and his wife have in common?"
Nothing. I don't know. She's very nice. Actually, I get sized for his wife because she's so nice and like the best host in the world. Like, no, they spent so much money, dude, like buying food and probably cleaning their house.
You got to look at it from their perspective. They had a celebrity coming to town.
Cowboy Todd think he's the celebrity. I think he thinks we're on an equal playing field. But he is entertaining. And that's an important thing, I think, for me. Is that I'm actually, despite on the show, I'm pretty quiet off the air. I need to be entertained. All my friends are pretty wild. Like Bobby, I got a Bobby Shambles. He's like he's a drug addict. I got friends that like get arrested all the time, but I don't do any of that stuff. I just like to be entertained by these wild guys. And Cowboy Todd fits into that category.
You know, what's kind of tilting mm-hmm. is that Drab and I, we don't even hang out after the show. Or anything. I barely talk to Drab.
I know, but...
And I actually try to engage him
guys,
a little bit.
You guys
and
see then each other at your worst.
And so he drives down 2 hours. Mm-hmm. All right,
hang out with a listener.
To hang out with basically a listener.
It's a bit of a show.
And he refuses to text me and hang out with me. It's but actually kind of
tilting.
You guys
might have gone golfing together, though.
Drab all the time pretends like he's going to golf. This is what Drab does. And this is what that is so tilting about it. Is that Drab will tell you, hey, let's do this, all right? And whatever this is, it appeals to what you like to do.
What,
he's always selfless about hanging out with other people. Like, he'll always be down to do whatever you want to do. He's always trying to please the other person.
I'll say, Valdez, let's go to a Baltimore strip club. You know, something that appeals to Valdez. And he'll be like, all right, let's do it.
He'll admit it. He goes, I don't even like crabs. And he'll say, you know what? Let's go get some crabs. Let's go get some crabs on the Eastern Shore.
I did say that. I actually have said that. Or I'm always intrigued about going to Ocean City, but I don't, you know.
And the thing is Drab never follows up on any of this. And you'll never hang out with him, and he'll never do anything with you that he suggests. Well, the fact that Cowboy Todd, a listener, mm-hmm. right, that you have zero interaction with in your lifetime, probably five times you've seen him, maybe less.
He does have my phone number, so he will text me.
All right, times. Convinced you and your wife and your kids to drive down 2 hours to see him. Did you spend the night?
No, I made that very clear before we were going down there. I said, babe, we are not spending
the night. Are you a loser? What are you doing? Two hours?
Actually,
I'm on Valdez's side here. First of all,
I live out in Loudoun County. It takes me 45 minutes to go anywhere anyways if I want to hang out with anybody. So it was an extra hour and 45 minutes.
It's just offensive. That's all it is.
No, it wasn't my idea. I was kind of maybe a little bit, not nervous, but I was just, it was kind of unknown what it was going to be like. I didn't set the thing up. My wife, I gotta please my wife every once in a while, right? I'm certainly not.
Don't think she would be okay if you said, hey, wife, we're going to skip Cowboy Todd's this weekend and just have a family night?
No, because I knew it would also be a break. Like, I knew that Todd's wife, Rochelle, she would, like, be sized for the babies and want to take care of them. And it would give me an opportunity to just be with the boys and kick it. And Cowboy Todd, he's just an entertaining guy. He's an idiot when he calls in here. And actually, he always pretends like, he tells me, like, you know, I'm not as dumb as I sound on the air. He might be as dumb as he sounds on the air. Like, he's just a redneck hillbilly.
What was your favorite thing to do down there?
Yeah.
Besides, I mean, I guess it was getting away from the kids. So hold on. So if I offered something with us hanging out,
I told Cowboy that Valdez should come down here. We should hang out. Like Valdez would. I said many times Valdez would love it down here. My favorite part of it was at a night after we'd been at the end of the night. Well, not the end. Like. Yeah, 10 o'clock or so. We'd been drinking, and I mean, it was fine. I drove home late. Like, it was like midnight when we drove home. But when we start teeing up golf balls and smashing them into the woods late at night.
Now, do you know how fun that sounds?
It was a blast. You know, and he's, you know, I know those drives sucked. You couldn't, they disappeared so quickly. But
did he still have the driver he bought at the Purple Heart Open?
That's what the one we were using, the driver from the Purple Heart Open. One thing he did, though, and I don't know, we might have to cut it out. He's butt shady. He told me not to mention this on the air, so.
So that means you were like, I'm gonna mention this
on the podcast. So you know how I said that he like has all these cameras in the woods?
Yeah.
Well, he does have, he took them all over the place. But when we went to one of the cameras, he jumped into the back of the gator and he grabbed a bunch of deer feed and dumped it all over the ground right in front of the camera.
So and he wants the deer to come back there the next day.
He's building like a little habitat for the deers to come by and like love this area. And then he's shooting
fish in a barrel for
exactly.
Him.
Bambi.
Dude, he like put this apple corn all over the ground, big pile of it.
That's hurting.
I was like, isn't that like disrespectful to the game of hunting? You know,
Don't you have to track them?
Aren't you supposed to sit in a tree for like 10 hours and wait just for one randomly walk by? So I don't know. That's how he finds his deer, I guess. But or at least he's tracking them. He hasn't hunted. He says it's not even hunting season.
And yet, so would you go back?
Yes.
Really?
Wow. Only with Valdez, though.
Thank you.
Because
is that a sympathy?
No. I told you. I mentioned it. You would like it. You know, it's, I'm too, what am I going to go to Clarendon and like get drunk with AWOD and, you know. I know you would, but I need a guy with like toys and a home.
But here's the thing is, you guys try to hang out. Sometimes it's not always your fault. I heard that you guys were supposed to have a great night at JP's party and Valdez showed up and was gone within 5 seconds.
I had a fantasy draft.
That is true. That was disrespectful.
I mean, that was your chance
so
to hang out.
So disrespectful. Not to me, to JP's mother who passed away. And to JP.
I had a fantasy draft.
Valdez showed up to this
I was the
memorial.
First, I was the first one at a memorial service.
Stuffed his face and then left. Before any of the slideshows or the music or the
I shook JP's hand goodbye, and it was covered in grease from an empanada.
Yeah. It's same with the junkies. The junkies are family members. I don't know if I'd call them great friends at this point. They are, but they're like brothers, right? Mm-hmm. You know who their friends are. EB's friend is Tom. Lurch's friend is Skippy. Like, those are their friends. But these guys, we hang out so often. We're in the same room. I've run out of things to tell Valdez. I can't believe we're doing a podcast. I got nothing. He knows. I've told him every story I've got. He's told me everything he knows. Like, we're around each other 30 hours a week just talking. Like, we don't necessarily have to hang out after the show, but I do like him a lot.
That's such a backhanded compliment.
That sounded like an excuse.
Hey, let me ask you a question. When you showed up to the memorial service, were you like, oh, damn, I just missed Valdez? Or did you not think of me at all?
No. I was actually bummed that you weren't there, because there was one less person for me to talk to.
Oh, well, you just wanted me to be your cushion.
Well, of course. Yeah. I was looking for a friendly face, because the other guys were there with their wives. And I mean, my wife is a social butterfly. She disappeared in like 10 seconds.
You tilted me with something, though, for that, because I saw it on Instagram. You give your kids away to anyone. I mean, I don't trust some of the people that were at JP's house. It looked a little bit shady. And you were just, these people were walking around dancing with your kids.
Yeah, there was like a 10-year-old, I think Isabella took the kids for a while.
Right, she's not even old enough to hold them.
Yeah, bro, I'm tired. All right, I'm beat down and I'm tired. If somebody wants to give me a break, I'll certainly take the break. One of the things that we talked about was Awad sleeping through the show. And I actually don't even know, he actually might be really bitter about this, but I think we got to talk about it, is Awad slept through the show today. He's our producer. But one of the things he tried to do this week was put together a promotional video.
Promo video. And Adam put together two promo videos. The first one, I would say, see, I don't want to offend you, Adam, but I don't know which one's worse. The first one or the second one?
I've seen Adam do good work. And if you don't know, Adam is a video producer back here at the station. He left for a while. He went to another video producing job. Came back. He's hired full-time. He's working on the BetQL network. He's a video
editor. I know. I've seen your video BetQL videos.
He does good work. EB's been bragging about him on the air about how silly Awad is at editing videos. And I'm not kidding you. Awad put together the worst promotional video I've ever seen.
No, worst promotional videos.
Videos. For Bit Season. And
the first one he did looked like you're using Microsoft clip art.
It did. Is that what you used to
No, it was a template, but you guys gave me nothing to work with. Some pictures.
I didn't even know.
We don't have a logo.
We don't have a logo yet.
What kind of podcast starts without a logo?
We're working on it.
I mean, I'm producing this thing. We need a marketing manager. All right, you sold the show and you were like, let's put it out there. We need a logo.
You're talking very loud.
Half-ass intro song.
You're talking very loudly and you're scaring the other producers in the room. But anyways, hey, let me ask you a question. When you made the promotional video, so the whole point of a promo video, mm-hmm. right, is to get people hyped up for Bit Season.
Yeah.
Why did you use the tiniest font in the world for Bit Season? I mean, it is so tiny you can't even read the show. So
that was like a draft, you know, to get your guys to gauge your feedback.
Oh, it was a draft. You sent us a draft? That's news to me. That's the first time I'm hearing there's a draft.
Guys don't text me back.
Well, I mean, I don't know what to say to you.
Okay, so
because it was so awful, I didn't want to like discourage you because you did some work.
He sent like this pixelated graphic of our Twitter profile pic, which is the Revenge of the Nerds, and all the video was the theme song that Richmond John did that you heard at the beginning of the show, and it was just that. And then he took these two clip art images of our profile, like our personal profile pictures.
Like this is what he did: is he Googled a drab T-shirt and he Googled Matt Valdez. And he found two pictures that he could squeeze in there.
And he dropped them onto the screen. It was, honestly, I don't know anything about editing videos. I could have done that in 10 minutes. It was the worst video I've ever seen. And so I didn't even tell him it was that bad. I just put it on our rundown here.
Our pictures are so completely resized compared to the promo picture of us.
We need good social media presence. And you are the guy who's supposed to be running it. And it took us three weeks to get the password from you.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother thing.
Yeah.
It's the fact that it took me 5 minutes to figure out, and we've been asking you to do it for 3 weeks.
So Adam, he's going to turn around. He's going to be mostly running our social media, and we're going to have good promotional videos.
Yes, he's going to be helping out with videos. By the way, the second video. I'm sorry. I don't want to gloss over the second video.
Oh, so he did a redo to show us that
you thought the second video was bad too.
I actually thought the second video may have been worse than the first.
Then give me some feedback. Like, do you not know how the editing world works? Let me give you a little behind the glass. Let me open up the curtains.
You tell us then.
You send out a video to the client. They give you notes of feedback, and then you make the changes. Then you send it back one more time.
Adam,
they approve the file.
Adam, those videos weren't worth our notes or time.
No, I did give you feedback. I put it on our Google Doc here that we all see. Adam's half-assed terrible promotional video. That was the feedback. And you sent me a text message calling me a dick, and then you sent us another video to make up for it, and it was somehow worse than the first one.
Your second video was a still picture with the theme song over it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and some audio waves.
Wasn't it a picture of like a radio or something?
It was a picture of like a UHF radio.
How much time did you spend prepping for this podcast this week?
Every day.
I took notes, and Valdez and I discussed it throughout.
Took notes? There's six lines of notes on here.
Well, yeah.
We had sales meetings all week.
Yeah, we had sales meetings. I guarantee I put more time than you did.
Oh, that's for sure. Yeah.
I
put barely any time in it. You know why? Because I think Valdez doesn't even want me on this show. That's the truth.
That's
behind
untrue.
The scenes here, Valdez doesn't want me on the show.
I think he does. I know he doesn't want you screaming.
Yes. That.
It's entertaining.
We'll see.
No, I think Valdez wants you on the show.
I definitely want you on the show.
Yeah, you wouldn't be here if Valdez didn't want you.
Yeah.
All right. I'll make a better video this week. Now I have something to work off of.
Right. So there's one thing that we actually... nobody knows about, and it's not a Christmas show or anything like that. There was something that happened behind the scenes here this week. Do you even know about this? Do you know about the fight?
I don't think so. There was a fight.
There was
this
a
week.
Fight off air this week
with one of the junks.
Huge rickness.
Can you guess what
junkie had the fight? And if it was between Drab or me?
Oh, it was. You guys were involved with one of the junks, or you?
Correct.
Just,
yeah.
Let me guess.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I almost can guarantee it was Drab and Lurch. You guys look at each other during the show,
mm-hmm.
and most of the time you smile, but there's always some rickness between you and Lurch.
He always thinks
you're hiding his days off.
I mean, that's possible.
You know, a fight would happen if you did something with Jason's days off.
No, I think I've gotten into a fight one time with Jason. And when I say fight, I mean, like an argument. I don't even remember what it was about. I think it was about whispering something in his ear, and he got super pissed off one time and started screaming at us. I think Valdez may have been out that
I was
too.
Out. Yeah. You were doing the live spots, and you told him that he went over the script 20 seconds.
The spot was like a minute and 20 seconds, and I told him his ear and the spot because we have to time up with NBC Sports Washington, and then he started screaming at me afterwards. That was like 6 months ago. No, the behind-the-scenes fight that we never mentioned on the air today or this week was between Drab and John Paul Flame.
Yeah.
Ooh.
A JP fight is the worst kind of fight because
so
he is a pit bull when it
They're
comes
never
to,
ending. It's a never
it'll
ending
linger
fight.
For weeks, right?
Well, it's just you can't,
no,
you
it's
can't
just,
move
unless,
past it that day.
Unless you just give up. Basically the way to stop the fight with JP is to give up because JP won't give up. He'll constantly readdress the situation and find a new angle to bring up whatever he's fighting about. But what was funny about this fight is that it started on Tuesday and then it finally boiled over on Wednesday.
Yeah.
It was a slow burn type fight.
So let the audience know a little bit how it started.
Okay. So with Lurch out on Tuesday, because he did it like he's always angling for an extra day and he did his
Labor Day wraparound vacation.
He does the wraparound Thanksgiving vacation. Now he's doing a wraparound Labor Day vacation where he takes only 4 days of a previous vacation and saves one for the Tuesday after Labor Day. So what that meant was it was a 3-man show on Tuesday with Lurch out. And what JP immediately did is that he can't sit still. He can't just leave things the way they're supposed to be. So he moved immediately over to Lurch's seat at 5:59, right, as the show's starting.
Right. Yeah, JP's usually the last one to get here, and then he came in. And by the way, all of his scripts are laid out in front of the mic that he normally uses. He couldn't find them, and he had the first first spot in the break. It was kind of tilting, and plus I got to remember that Jason's on a specific mic, so I can't use the JP mic when he's using Lurch's seat. It was tilting.
Can you tell
me? I can't make eye contact with Cakes because he sits in a different angle than Jason, and he's throwing everyone's equilibrium off.
Can you tell me why? What is the reason that JP needs to sit in Lurch's seat?
I don't know. He just wants to change the scenery.
I think it's just a change of scenery. Like he honestly can't sit still. And we say this stuff out of love, like we are family members, but we do bump heads every once in a while. And so it was tilting Valdez and I that he immediately, at the last second as the show's starting, as we're already like on camera, that he's switching seats and setting it up. And what this is a behind the glass thing is what we're not supposed to really do is show, and we've been yelled at many times, is show the televisions in the background.
Right. There's because it's a copyright issue. So if you're showing the TV that's playing in the background while it's on the TV for another station, it's a whole legal copyright thing.
Right. And I get that. I mean, we're on NBC Sports Washington.
So you can't be showing the NFL Network, ESPN,
we always have those shows on in the background. Valdez and I never hardly ever change the channel. We just usually, whatever's on, it just stays on. We're not even paying attention to it. But JP moves out of his seat that's perfectly set every day. It's supposed to be set where it doesn't show any TVs in the background. Well, he moves it over right where I'm at right now and sits more of like in Lurch's seat, but halfway in between him and JP, and it, right behind him,
it's a different
HD TV.
Is our brand new HD TV with ESPN on?
Right, he's showing it off.
It's a different angle for the camera that's on NBC Sports Washington.
And I said something to JP on the air about it, and actually, you guys can listen to it right here of how this whole fight kind of started.
JP, can you move back into the like more into Lurch's spot? You're like sitting in the middle of the room, and it's showing the TV in the behind you.
I got it.
What, yeah. What do you mean? What
does he got to do? He's throwing everyone off.
All right, well,
he's like sitting
on.
In the middle of the room here.
Yeah.
His camera is shooting to the TV behind him.
Oh.
And we can't do that.
Oh, okay.
I just blocked it with my head.
Right. Right. I got to play it with my
tiny head.
So stubborn about everything.
Your sound clip. I have to play it, Trent.
So the following day, JP is sitting back in his usual seat. Jason is back in his seat, and so everything is all hunky-dory, except JP is fidgeting with his camera because he sees the TV in the background of his shot.
Right. He's back in his normal seat, but now that he's been alerted to this TV thing,
It's on his brain.
He can't let it go, and now he thinks that we lied. He thinks that we somehow
for some reason he thinks we're against him about sitting in Jason's seat, and this whole TV spectacle was a figment of our imagination,
kind of made up. Meanwhile, NBC producers are messaging us saying, "Hey,
Get
JP to move. The TV's on in the background." But JP comes in and he starts showing us during the break. He keeps saying, look, no matter where I sit, the TV's on in the background of my seat.
Yeah, and he's showing us pictures from his phone and everything.
Meanwhile, I'd forgotten about it from the previous day. We'd moved on, and it hasn't been a problem. But JP is like not.
We're alerted to when it's a problem from NBC.
I don't care.
It's an NBC issue.
It's a TV issue.
And when it's a problem, we fix it.
Yeah.
We fix it for them.
When they tell us. So he's coming in and he's like the entire commercial break. He's like showing us his computer, saying the TV's on in the background.
By the way, it's not like we're just sitting there with our thumb up our ass during the break. We have live spots to do. We got segments to prep. And JP's sitting there flaming us about whatever showing in the background.
It's not even flaming. You guys know JP. He's like trying to win an argument that I don't even care about. He's trying to like hammer it home that he was right yesterday, not me.
How tilted did you get?
Oh, I got tilted.
That's what I want to hear.
Drab, well, I kind of lost my cool.
Drab definitely lost his cool.
Really?
He called JP an alien to his face.
No, I said, I did call him an alien, but I also called JP a weirdo.
So this is now Wednesday.
Yeah.
In the middle of the show.
At the beginning of the show.
Well, here's what
the first hour of the show was JP leaving the studio during
every
commercial break to run into our studio to debate Drab about the TV situation.
About how he was right the previous day and I was wrong. And the TV's always on in the background no matter where he sits, which is untrue. I pulled up a bunch of YouTube clips of the junkies where he half the door shown here in the background, and the angle where there's not even close to a TV on in the background, and his TV wasn't in the background that day, saying, but he was just like, he wouldn't let it go. He had to be proven right that he was going to show me that that TV, no matter where he sat, usually the TV was on in the background. I couldn't take it anymore. He was just hammering it home that he was right and we were wrong. And so I snapped and I said, stop it. Stop talking to me about this. I don't care. Let it go. You're a freaking weirdo.
It stunned me.
Yeah. I think it stunned everyone.
Were you screaming it?
Yes. I kind of screamed it.
Yes. Wow. To the point where EB would walk in 2 segments later and say, hey, what was that about?
I think I said, I can't take it anymore. I walked out of the producer room and I said, you're a freaking weirdo. Wow. Which I kind of regretted right at the time because I shouldn't talk to the talent that way. I've never really
weirdo's not.
I called him
weirdo. Really?
Yeah, but weirdo to someone's face. But
it was such a lame insult.
but really, what poured gas on the fire was that Drab came into the studio to talk to Jason about stamps.com.
So I call him a weirdo. Mm-hmm. I come right into the studio and I immediately start talking to Jason. It was clearly awkward.
Right.
But then JP storms right back in here and to follow the fight.
And he's following the fight and he's showing him pictures of the TV in the background.
Really?
Yeah.
As I'm talking to Lurch. So I turn to him and I say, stop interrupting me. Can't you see I'm talking to someone? I love JP. I really do love JP. He'll interrupt you all the time. He does, he has no social awareness of when you are either doing something else or not interested.
Now during this fight, I was Team Drabby.
How were the other junks reacting?
They were just sitting there.
He was Team Drabby until he flipped.
I didn't flip. I just got tired of them yelling at each other, making it awkward. And I told JP, I said, leave it alone. And I told Drab, I said, shut up. that was my big contribution. Yeah, yeah. I told both of them to stop it.
Yeah.
Acting like little kids.
It was going on so long. And I'm talking 30 minutes, all right, of two and a half commercial breaks. I said, you know what? I'm not the only one who feels this way. Valdez also feels the same way. He's just not going to say anything because he didn't want to get in the fight.
I didn't want to get into it. It was their fight.
So I threw Valdez under the bus, and Valdez said, I've had enough of this. JP, knock it off. Drab, this is the word you said, stop instigating him. You two, knock it off.
I felt like a dad.
He did. It was a dad move. It was
such a dad move.
And you know what? It kind of worked. Everyone shut up afterwards.
Yeah, they saw my muscles and my New Balance dad shoes.
But we can use this podcast to bring up old things. Like, if that happened again, you got to come up with a better insult. I mean, on the spot right now.
No,
he didn't have something better than weirdo.
No, you. I'm not. It was calculated. I wanted to insult him without really stepping over the line.
Right.
I didn't want to say you're an effing asshole, right? Because then I'm like that's way inappropriate,
right?
We shouldn't be arguing with them at all, right? But sometimes these things happen. But I was trying to let him know that I was so pissed off at him. It was so I'm like, you're a freaking weirdo. Felt like such a chotch. But and then here's actually the lamest part. Is after the next break, when Valdez is telling us to shut up, JP comes back in there and goes, and Drab's calling me names. I'm like, are we 12? Are we 12 years old? I mean, I guess it really actually hurt him. As lame as me calling him a weirdo was, I think it hurt
because
him.
Because you said it right to his face, I guess.
I did, yeah. Yeah.
And deep down, he knows he does weird stuff. Like, he combs his arm hair. I mean, you think that's not weird?
He is. I mean, he's got this, he's very kind. He's very nice. He's very, in tune with how other people are usually feeling. But he's got this thing about him where two things. If once he gets going, he has to be proven right, right? And he uses facts and numbers and all kinds of stuff to show you why you're wrong.
Because he went to law school.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's the
perfect profession for him.
Part of it, why, and I love JP. He's so, I think he's just, he's and really smart. And so when he gets into an argument, he wants to prove that he's smarter than you. Does that make sense?
The second part did. Not the part that he's really smart. I don't know. I mean, he's not dumb. I don't think any of us are.
I think he's the smartest junkie.
No.
No.
Really?
Well, I know who the dumbest is. who's the smartest junkie? He might be. I have never really thought about that. I guess maybe Eric. But I don't know. I don't know who got the best grades. I know it wasn't Lurch. I know it wasn't Cakes. I mean, EB's faking term papers. JP failed his bar exam.
Yeah.
You know, no.
But then he passed.
It's probably Valdez, probably by far and away the smartest.
I didn't expect that.
Well, I mean, he got good grades. He went to University of Maryland when it was actually hard to get into.
Because he was in state.
No, you think they let in?
No, they let.
Actually the biggest.
You think it's harder to get in because you're in state?
If I have the same exact transcript as some kid from New Jersey, they're going to take the kid from New Jersey because right, the out of state tuition is three times as what the in state pays. Donk.
Yeah, and you did go to ASU, which I mean, any idiot can get in. Right?
That's true. They let me ride in and out of state and actually, mediocre grades.
I actually think about Drabs College a lot.
Oh, tell me.
I probably think about it daily that Drab went to probably one of the biggest party schools in the mm-hmm. country. All right. He spent half of his time in some cult with some religious leader.
That's a stretch. That's way of a stretch. I've spent 6 months in my senior year.
Drab has zero fun stories from Arizona State. Have you noticed that?
I know. His best story is when he got a dog.
Like, he never talks about.
What do you mean? On Big O and Dukes all the time, I used to talk about those stories. First of all, it's 20 years ago. I was a freshman 20 years ago this week. It's hard to remember. All right, it's hard to remember all the stories, but I used to talk about the club get right stories and how we turned my dorm room into like a party, and we would go and we'd invite all the hot chicks at Jamba Juice, and none of them ever came. Yeah, I used to tell stories all the time.
I just never heard them. That's all.
Well, the junkies aren't as interested in my college stories. They don't really doesn't really fit the show a lot of times, but. You think I didn't have fun at Arizona
but
State?
But it's a blur because he was high for four straight years.
I was drinking, smoking, straight West Coasting.
Hey, wasn't there a great like taco spot you used to tell me about you used to go to?
I was at, yeah, I mean, of course. You think I live in Phoenix? You think it wasn't a good taco spot?
<I know>.
Of course. I'd say Valdez is the smartest on the show. I think it's pretty obvious.
It's all a front.
Well, like if we were presented with an SAT score today, or like an SAT exam today, Valdez would score the highest. Like without, you would score the lowest.
I argue that because people think I'm the dummy because of all my years on the show. I was playing a character on a hit TV show. I'm not really an idiot.
Oh, you were.
Okay?
You were.
I was playing a character.
You know who he was playing?
Yeah.
Corky from Facts of Life.
You were not playing a character, Adam. You got busted lying on your lying liar when you brought in a lie detector.
About
his math score.
No, and also the colleges he applied to.
Yeah, the colleges you applied to and the chicks you had sex with.
No. I realized that lying gets you more airtime. So all I did was lie.
Now the busy season started, we're actually getting some truth out of AY. So, that was the fight. It's all good now.
Did it feel good getting it off your chest?
A little bit, but now I got to like pipe down for a while. No, right. I'll be honest, I didn't really talk to JP that much off air today either.
Do you think JP's going to hear this or hear about this and then confront you about it?
Yes. Yeah.
Some listeners going to tell.
He'll bring it up on the show.
Misinformation.
He'll say, Drab talked about our fight earlier this week.
Someone's going to tweet a meme of your face and it'll be, you're a weirdo.
Probably. Yeah.
You know what? We should hire them as a producer.
Yeah,
they
can
do that.
Get some social media.
Hey, if you guys are great producing, where are your headphones?
We can't figure out. We have a different setup than the junkies usually do. So we don't have our headphones on.
We
today,
have the Rush Limbaugh.
You know
earpiece.
What? Valdez and I know how to talk into a microphone. You don't. You're screaming. We don't need headphones. So I think everything is cool between JP and I. We've bumped heads before. I mean, I always say I could probably count on one hand the fights I've had with the junkies. I'm probably up to two hands now for sure.
But it doesn't happen very often. And Valdez, he every once in a while he'll get Rick at the guys. But
I've had my fair share of fights.
I think it's always with EB though.
Eric, Jason. Jason asked me to book some guests a long time ago, and I told him I'd reach out to him, and I never did. And then he found out I never did.
Oh, really?
Then he yelled at me.
Yeah.
And I think I told him.
Valdez is more of, how do I say this?
Passive-aggressive?
No, he's more of a sulker. Like, when he's pissed off, like, he'll walk away, and he'll just, like, be like, F this place, you know? I'm going to be a bartender.
Yeah, that's the Valdez mantra right there.
Yeah, I'm going to be a bartender in South Carolina.
Like, I just want to pour beer.
I just want
to pour beers. That's what he does when he's pissed off.
I bet he'd be
I'm a little bit more lippy than Valdez. And so it tends to instigate a little bit more. Maybe Valdez is you know, smarter than me when it comes to that, too.
He's a good listener.
Valdez is
a good listener. I think Valdez would be a good bartender because he would pour you the beers and then he would sit and listen to your stories and provide good feedback.
Be like Ted Danson.
Like Ted Danson.
You look like Ted Danson.
This is a gray hair shot.
What was your favorite non-sports segment of the week? Any of those stories that we did? You know, we did a lot of farting stuff, like we said earlier in the week. EB was he was big on really pushing the flatulent stories. He liked them.
I like that even though it's football season that he's pushing the farting stories. What I liked was you finally admitting how jealous you are of my arms.
Well, I was just inundated with all these, you know, when I posted, we all reposted.
Hey, you should have seen the amount of DMs that Drab and Bit Season and myself were getting on Instagram.
About how swole Valdez's arms were.
I mean, he was wearing a schmeedy.
I had an ill-fitting shirt. It was,
he does these ill-fitting shirts all the time.
No, I don't do them all the time.
I don't know.
First of all, I can't believe you wore that out of the house. Like, didn't he put it on and be like, this looks ridiculous. Like, right. I got to put a different shirt on.
I just thought maybe I had a good pump going on or something.
Well,
or that it would stretch out as the day went on.
It didn't stretch out.
If anything, it probably got tighter.
And actually, we had to cut multiple takes, Awad, because the first time he said that his gut was hanging out.
I said I had his man boobs.
So he goes, let me stand up and put my shoulders back and let me look jacked.
I mean, he did look jacked.
He did. I mean, his arms were big. I'll give him that.
His body was big.
He lifts a lot. He's a big guy. But there's a lot of male envy from our listeners about Valdez.
And you.
Well, they're just like, nobody was taking shots at me, really.
No.
But it was just like, Drab, Valdez is looking jacked. What's he on? What's he doing?
Well, his secret is stupid, though. He eats dinner at 4 p.m. That's why he never gains weight. It's because, you know, he's digested everything and then he sleeps.
But you've accused Valdez many times of being a fake eater. He eats healthy in front of us, and then you say he goes home and eats like crap. Because you say he has a big belly.
You should have seen all the mac and cheese I pummeled today.
Yeah, Valdez does that. If you guys are watching on TV, you'll see him like, he eats like a rabbit. He's like nibbling on like a hard-boiled egg or a banana. Oh,
that was the most tilting thing of all the years working here was every day. Just hearing him crinkle up a damn egg and take the shell off of it.
Right. But I know you always say when he goes home, he must eat like three lunches.
Because he shows us these huge steak dinners, and then I'm telling you, he has a second helping.
Right. Also,
it was a revelation about the inordinate amount of 50-year-old horny women.
Oh, there are a bunch of old women who were sending messages about how hot Valdez was.
Really?
Yeah. 50 is actually on the low end. They were like 70. No, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I guess silly if you're 70.
Drab, would you do a 50-year-old, though?
Well, I mean, if I was single?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not that far off. I'm almost 40. I'm not an ageist.
I'd be psyched to learn.
Well, you want a woman to teach you how to do things?
Yeah. I'd be size for an instructor. A sex instructor.
Like on American Pie or something?
Stifler's mom.
Yeah, Stifler's mom. She taught him all the tricks.
Yeah.
I think actually that might be what you need. Because you're not...
He needs a divorcee.
Yes.
That's...
Yes. You need a
that's looking for a boy toy.
No, not even a boy toy. Because if she like if they want a boy toy, they'll just go like find some hot young guy that will just rail them out. She a woman who wants to nurture AWOD and like bring them along into manhood, coming of age tale.
Kids have already left the nest.
Yeah, divorced. And living
far away from her,
and she doesn't mind teaching you. you should bump up your Tinder profile to like 40 to 50 year olds, divorced, right? Get a few reps in, like Valdez did in college with all the fatties. No, learn what you're doing.
He loves to bring it up.
Learn what you're doing. But I don't doubt. I bet Valdez is great in bed because he learned back in the
too
day.
Big.
That's what you need. And then a year from now, you go back to Clarendon and you show these young girls what you got.
You good know? Idea.
Yeah, you should. I'm sure.
I like the fact that Jim thinks I'm great in bed.
That means he's thinking about it. That's so hurting.
I'm thinking about it now.
What? What's that in your pants?
Yeah, that was a good topic this week. I think my favorite was the hottest topic of the week, speaking of sex, was the Machine Gun Kelly and
Megan Fox
having sex and leaving
sultry note.
A note and leaving like juice all over the kitchen table. Right?
She's still so hot.
Yeah, that is hot. I mean, would you ever have, would you feel uncomfortable poning like in someone else's kitchen? I'd feel like that's.
The way I look at it is any Airbnb.
Those are just cesspools.
Yes, it's a cesspool. A couple has had sex every single location, every single room in an Airbnb. Nothing's off limits. Someone's had sex on the kitchen table. Someone's had sex on the patio. Someone's had sex in every single bedroom. The bathroom is probably a semen fest.
Yeah. Would you ever, if you had a room to rent, would you ever rent it out for Airbnb, knowing what people do in their bedrooms?
I'd have to be really hard up.
Yeah. I think about it sometimes. I'm not in the best current situation now, but maybe like, if I like my in-laws, they rent out in Alexandria. They got people all the time from like Croatia and Germany, all these random people just coming in their home who want to like tour DC. And they're just probably destroying that bedroom. I don't even like going in there because of how like gross it makes me feel.
I don't know. It probably smells like sex.
It smells like sex, but they make bank from it. That's enticing. So I don't know. I might do it one day, but I probably wouldn't tweet about it. Like, I wouldn't tweet just had sex all over this kitchen table in someone else's Airbnb. I don't know. I don't.
Do you think that probably raises the price?
Well, they're like, it's probably like a famous Airbnb. Now I would put that in there. You know, stayed.
Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox had sex here. Put a big old X.
What's with Machine Gun Kelly? Why are all these chicks so attracted to him?
I don't know. I think it's because he's tall.
He's tall.
That was
and
my
blonde.
Thing in high school. I thought because I was below 6 foot, I wasn't getting laid.
No, well, it's because it's a rocker.
Let's pause on it. You think it's because you're not 6 feet. That's
yes.
why you're not.
Have you not seen all these TikToks? All these girls, they have like marks in their house.
Yeah.
Don't walk in if you're under 6 foot.
But you're not sure. You're 5'10".
I'm 11 and a quarter.
You're 5'10". We've measured you before. That let me tell you not being 6 feet is the least of your problems.
I think if I was 2 inches higher vertically, maybe 2 inches longer horizontally, I'd be getting laid all the time.
Okay.
All right.
You're so gross.
I know. But with Machine Gun Kelly, it's the rocker thing. That's why.
Yeah, but there's hundreds of rockers.
No, but he's a successful rocker.
But he's like a rap rocker. And he wasn't that successful for a long time.
I don't know. It's odd because you look at him and you look at Pete Davidson. They're the same person.
No, it's yeah. Right? They have big dick energy. It's like
don't ever say
big dick energy.
That sounds like something a chick said.
No, but it's the truth. The whole world is ran by big dick energy. Our president had BDE for 4 years.
Can you stop saying big dick energy? Because that sounds so trifling coming out of your mouth.
That's what the kids say. But that's him and Pete
so
Davidson.
That just means swagger? Is that just
it's
means
like swag. It's like energy. It's like it confident. It's a lot of it is self-confidence.
Yeah, you have zero confidence.
I have no BDE. Right. I have low dong energy.
Yeah, you have low dong
energy. That's low dong energy.
Yeah. So I thought it was a pretty good week on the show. We're looking forward to next week. It's hard. It's going to be hard, but we promise you, Valdez and I will fit in those non-sports segments. Mondays are going to be all Washington football team. So if you like sports, you know, and you like the local football team, those are the days for you.
You want to call in and complain about Fitz, Monday is your day.
Yeah.
Hey, did you guys do your NFL big surprise? What is it called? What's the bit called every year?
Bold predictions.
Bold predictions.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
I missed it.
I know.
Yeah, you missed the entire show.
You could tell. You could still get in. You just got to text Lurch what they are.
All right.
Just text him your picks. It's actually better because then the payout's worth more.
Was one of yours like a non-sports one?
Well,
bold prediction.
No. Our bold predictions.
You did a bold prediction one time that like an NFL player would die on the field.
That's what I do every year.
It's his bet. No, you don't get any points or money for bold predictions, but I want you in the contest. You got to like give them your division winners and your Super Bowl winners and all that.
Yeah.
And then it's $10. That's all it is, but.
Yeah.
What was your bold predictions? I know we say no sports, but.
Logan Thomas would lead tight ends in touchdown receptions. The possibility of two 0-17 teams and with the rise in sports betting in the NFL, a player will be caught gambling or giving insider info to a teammate or relative or friend.
I believe mine were that the Washington football team will pick a team name earlier than January 2022.
By the way, this violates no sports.
I know, but I'm just recapping. Okay. He asked. And then I said it's going to be a team name that no one has heard or thought of or suggested yet. It's going to be like off the wall, like blow people away type of name. Maybe not blow them away, but it will be stunning. And the other one was that Jameis Winston gets disciplined for stealing New Orleans cuisine. It's so stupid. Makes me laugh, though. All right. So that's it. That's the first episode of Bit Season. We went an hour this week. We think that we're going to do again. Like we said, we're going to do the show weekly. If it picks up some steam and we get some momentum, maybe we'll do it more than that. We always have plenty of content. If you guys want to us to touch on something that was discussed on the show, or if you would like to become a sponsor of the show,
yeah, most if you want to advertise,
hit us up. Well, we are on Twitter and Instagram. Check us out at BitSeason. Our DMs are open.
Yeah, so DMs are open.
We'll respond to you guys. And and if you are interested in advertising on the show, we'll let Jackie know.
Or if you're a 50-year-old horny lady who wants to comment on my arms.
Or nurture AWOD.
Yeah.
our DMs are open. So, and Jackie, she's the account executive that is kind of handling our show. So if we mention Jackie, that's who she is. She's the one who secured the Wave Soda deal for us. And again, this show is presented by Wave Soda. We love Nat. We love the great things that he's doing over there in San Diego. He grew up here. He went to college here. He moved over to San Diego, started a business. Huge success story.
I drink Wave Soda every day.
Yeah, we love Nat. We love Wave Soda.
I get my caffeine push in the morning.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening to the inaugural episode of Bit Season on the inaugural Crab Kickoff Day. A lot going on.
I'm looking forward to doing this with you next week, maybe even more during the week if more sponsors come along. And like Drabby said, DM us if you have any comments about the show, what you like, what you don't like.
Send us like ideas too.
Yeah. All right, guys, we'll have a great weekend and enjoy the football and the sports betting, and we will see you tomorrow.
It's like a little competition to see who can have the last word between you two.
We'll figure it out. All right, guys.
We just don't know how to end it. It's our first show. We don't know how to end it.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon. Later.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast.
With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.